Emergency Preparedness and Oceans Policy. Call it to order on March the 27th, 2007. And I'd like to welcome everybody here today. We're moving right along in this session. If you feel like I do, it feels like we just are running a marathon. And every day we get up and we just run until we're exhausted.
But Madam Chair,
the next day we just get up and run again.
But Madam Chair, we don't look as good as you do.
Oh, I know it.
I tell you, you
are
flattery
agile,
gets you everywhere. Flattery gets you everywhere. But we're going to open today with the agenda. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 432. Senator George. Judith is going to talk to us about Senate Bill 432.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And first of all, I want to make sure all the members have the engrossed version of Senate Bill 432 because that's what the amendments will be amending. If you don't have that, I do have extra copies for you. Senate Bill 432 allows shipbreaking in Oregon only in dry dock. It prohibits shipbreaking in waters of this state at a pier or dismantling slip. It allows for the dismantling or removal of a shipwreck if the Department of State Lands determines that moving the ship to dry dock is impracticable, and it does declare an emergency effective upon passage. You have before you two amendments, the dash A4s and the dash A5s. You have those original amendments, as well as you'll see one kind of hand-engrossed amendment where I have inserted, if the committee so chooses to do both amendments, they are compatible. The dash A4 amendments insert the term gross with respect to weight in the definition of ship. So the only change on page 1 of the bill is on line 21 in that definition of ship. Now it's referring to 200 gross tons. So we're inserting the term gross there with respect to the weight of the ship. It replaces language related to shipwrecks on page 2. You'll see we're replacing lines 8 through 10 with the dash A4 amendments. Though that would allow shipwrecks, it would allow a person to dismantle a shipwreck for removal if the Department of State Lands determines that it is physically impractical to move the shipwreck to dry dock, and it further would allow a ship to be partially dismantled as may be required in the process of ship repair. The dash A4 amendments further exempts shipbreaking of a flat-bottomed barge that is not self-propelled from the dry dock requirements. The dash A5 amendments authorize the Department of State Lands to consult with others, including but not limited to other state agencies, the United States Coast Guard, as well as the ship owner, with respect to the determination on whether shipwrecks may be moved to dry dock. And my hand-engrossed version of the dash A4s shows you where that language would fit in if you, again, so choose to adopt both amendments. We have a no fiscal and a no revenue on the measure. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Thank you very much, Judith. Committee, you remember this was the bill that was passed out, and we have brought it back. We had some concerns from several sources. So we have addressed the barge concern, the gross concern in the ship repair, and we're clarifying that the Department of State Lands can consult with other state agencies. I don't know that that language in the dash 5 that you're looking at really needs to be there, because I think they could probably consult anyway, but they would be more comfortable if it's in there allowing them to consult with others. The bill says that they can make the determination, and that would be, for instance, in the case of the new Carissa. But they would feel better if it had this other language. And I'm going to have Senator George make a motion, and then we'll have discussion if you'd like.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move the dash A4 amendments to Senate Bill 432.
Senator George has moved the dash 4 amendments to Senate Bill 432. Is there any discussion? Okay. Seeing none, so ordered.
Madam Chair, at this time I'd like to move the dash A5 to to Senate Bill 432.
Senator George has moved the dash 85 amendments to Senate Bill 432. Any discussion? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator George.
Now, Madam Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 432 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator George moves Senate Bill 432 to the floor of the Senate with as amended to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Senator Representative Krieger.
Senator Berger, earlier on, before the bill ever came, we had a brief discussion about our concerns, environmental concerns. I was not at the hearing when you passed the bill. Are you comfortable that all of those environmental concerns have been addressed?
I am.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Representative Shoffler.
Thank you. I just to be perfectly honest, I did not oppose the idea of cracking these ships in Oregon without being on a dry dock, because, and I'll tell you why, we all use these ships, and we need a place to dispose of them. And if we had a dry dock, I believe, in Portland a few years ago, and we sold it, which was, in light of this, rather foolhardy, but there's other details. But because of the people that are supporting this bill, in light of that, and out of respect for all of them, I will be supporting this bill. Because, as a friend of mine likes to tell me, who am I to speak to what goes on down the coast, because I don't live there. But I hope we do someday in this state build some facility for managing these old vessels that we've used and worn out and have benefited this community, and now we're saying, well, we'll take them apart somewhere else. I don't think that's right, but I will be supporting the bill, Madam Chair, and I love fish and clean water as much as anybody, and you too. So,
thank you very much. Thank you, Representative Shoffler. We feel that they are welcome to come to Oregon and break up their ships, provided they do it in dry dock and don't ruin our bay, and we'd be happy to have them.
Yes, ma'am.
We just simply don't want them to ruin our bay. So, any other comments? All right, we'll call the roll.
Senator George
Allen? Aye.
Senator
Johnson?
Aye.
Representative
Krieger? Aye.
Senator
Norris
Evans Skeens,
Representative Shoffler? Aye. Representative
Allen?
Aye.
Chair Boone's excused. Chair
Berger
excused, and
aye. All right. Senate Bill 432 passes, and I'll carry the bill. Thank you, Senator George. All right. Next on our agenda is a public hearing on House Bill 3121.
Yes, ma'am. House Bill 3121 directs Office of Emergency Management of Department of State Police to create a statewide Citizen Corps Advisory Council. Directs the Office and Advisory Council to advise, support, and assist development of citizens' resources prepared to respond to all hazards, prevention, protection, response, and recovery. Requires that employers grant a leave of absence to employees who volunteer through the Citizen Corps Council or identified related programs. This has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
All right. I'll open the public hearing, and I'll call Ken Murphy. Oh, no, I won't. I'll call Representative Thatcher. Welcome, Representative Thatcher.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Representative Kim Thatcher. I'm from House District 25, which covers St. Paul, Kaiser, and Newburgh. House Bill 3121 is a bill drafted for a constituent of mine in Kaiser. His name is Mark Dodge. He could not make it here today, but he is a CERT volunteer, or a Community Emergency Response Team volunteer in Kaiser, and he's quite active in that group. And he had some suggestions. He came to me during the interim with a couple of ideas, and that's what's presented in this bill, though it didn't come out exactly the way I would like it. But I'll get to that. First, it creates a Citizen Corps Advisory Council to assist the Office of Emergency Management and the State Police in encouraging participation and best practices amongst local citizen corps councils, kind of a coordination. It allows the Office of Emergency Management and the council to pursue funding from a variety of sources, including the private sector, which could serve to form the kind of public-private partnerships that we should be seeking to encourage. It's my understanding that Oregon is one of two states in the nation that does not have a Citizen Corps Advisory Council. And the purpose of the Corps would be to govern the city, county, and local CERT teams, as well as other Citizen Corps activities, which includes Neighborhood Watch and medical response teams and the like. Now, the second thing it does is require an employee to grant a leave of absence to Citizen Corps volunteers or a volunteer for one of the programs that you see in Section 2. There is some issue, and this is the part where I'm an employer, and I see many of you up there are also employers. This has the potential to place a burden on employers, and we need to narrowly word it so that it's not inclusive of those who need to respond to recurring events in the neighborhood. It's more of a real disaster within the state. And my research says that just in my particular district, in Kaiser specifically, there have been two instances in the last 10 years that would qualify as disasters, and they were both floods. I'm concerned that the trigger for requiring leave, as the bill is written right now, is too easy to pull, and I considered amending the bill to say it had to be an emergency declared by the governor before employers were required to grant leave. But I was told by a local CERT volunteer, like I said, there's only been a couple times. I'm relying on the wisdom of this committee and those who serve so well in responding to the needs of the state as it relates to emergencies, that we could work something out that could be for the benefit of the state. I have faith, however, that our employers would give their employees a time off, regardless of whether or not we require it, especially if it's really a calamity. So that is essentially where I am on this, and I would defer to the experience of the committee. I hope to have the opportunity to vote for this on the floor, and I look forward to the comments of those who follow me. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right. Questions for Representative Thacker? All right. Representative Nelson?
Yes. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Good representative, whose territory I share in Newburgh. could you just tell me, is the Office of Emergency Management really part of the Department of State Police?
Mm-hmm. I believe it is. I'm not an expert on who owns which agency, but that's my understanding.
I did not
Mr.
know
Murphy
that.
Murphy nodding his head in the back, so he says yes, it is.
Currently.
Well, you know what concerns me about that?
Yes.
Is, we're not even funding that division. We may not even have it. So you have this bill, but yet our legislature hasn't funded the state police. So, we ought to put in here state police amendment. State police will be funded so we can have this committee.
Representative Nelson, you remember our bill that transfers the responsibilities to the military department. We'll discuss that. Mr. Murphy is going to come up, and so we'll have him explain that. All right. Other questions for Representative Thacker? Representative
Creek. I don't have a question. You said she would rely on the committee's wisdom, and I don't know if I do that.
Now, listen, just take the compliment. Don't worry about it. That's right. All right. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to call now Ken Murphy, and we'll talk a little bit about where you really are housed and when you will be housed maybe differently.
Chair Berger and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Ken Murphy, Director of Emergency Management for the State of Oregon, and My current location in state government is within inside the Oregon State Police structure, but the proposal in House Bill 2370 is out and moving and is currently placing us inside the Oregon Military Department in the same structure that that I have in my office today. So hopefully bills such as this, and I think a lot of the bills will say state police because that's where the current structure is, but will automatically change if the legislation is passed. So hopefully that'll work. And to clear up any confusion, the way it's worded, and this is what legislative counsel tells me, you have to abolish my office and recreate it to do this properly. And please don't ask me any technical questions there because I'll have to defer. I did want to testify on House Bill 3121, and I will make Representative Thatcher feel better. Oregon is one of the leading states at having Homeland Security Councils, community emergency response teams. And just to give you a little background, this document that I did pass out just for your edification, there's an overarching organization called the USA Freedom Corps, which has the Peace Corps, Corporation for National and Community Service, and the Citizen Corps. On the very first page, I've listed a website that you can check. And then from my office, Mr. Ian Finseth, who runs the program for the state of Oregon and working with the city, county, and tribal entities across the state. Some little facts there. You can see that there's 2,158 councils across the nation serving a certain population, 74% of the total U.S. populations. On the second page, in Oregon, we created the Citizen Corps State Advisory Council on January 24th, 2003, and this has been an active statewide group that working across the state of Oregon with city, county, and tribal entities and councils, creating and helping assist to create community emergency response teams, improving training, and opening opportunities to all volunteers. Currently, Oregon has 40 councils, actually 39, plus the state council. There's a listing on the back for your edification. And so we have 90% coverage compared to the national average of 74%. So I think we've done well. And I will say this is pretty much all 100% volunteers that are doing this. And we do receive modest funding from the Department of Homeland Security. We wished it would be a lot more, but it has helped us to do this. In fact, we had a State Citizen Corps Council meeting today. Some of the people that attended that are here today, and then we're also, since Oregon has been one of the leaders, we're hosting a regional conference at Portland State University in June with our Alaska, Washington, Idaho, and Oregon partners. The third sheet is just an idea of some of the different Citizen Corps programs that you may be familiar with in your communities. And then the final page is a listing of what is out there. Now, what you don't see on this list are the different community emergency response teams that may be inside of a community. This just lists the councils. So there's a lot more out there that's not actually listed there. House Bill 3121, as I said, I believe that we are doing most of this already, although there are a couple phrases in here and things that I would like to have a meeting with Representative Thatcher and work on some of the wording on this that is more at the local level for citizen corps councils at the local level to engage, such as public education and outreach, although we can assist in that, and ensuring clear communications with the public is something that we try and do at the local level. So I think for the most part, all of this is being accomplished. It's been put in place since 2003. We're continuing to build. As you know, Oregonians are great volunteers, and we spend a lot of time focusing on the specifics of a community emergency response team because those are the people that really can help, your local neighbors, being able to take care of neighbors in their community when a disaster strikes. the piece of the bill, and I'll be the first to admit I do not know all of the ins and outs of the law of allowing employees to grant a leave of absence. I would like to do some more research on that to make sure that I'm, you know, doing the right thing and working with Representative Thatcher. I know from my experience of being in the National Guard the issue of leave from your employer, but I just want to do some more research on this because, as Representative Thatcher mentioned, you know, this, there's some devil in the details to some extent on employers and letting people go, and I'm concerned about how it affects employees at a city, county, state government versus a private business that would have somebody that might be part of a, you know, a community emergency response team. So with that, I would indulge the committee to, you know, consider letting my office work with Representative Thatcher and our state Citizen Corps Council. They're well aware of this. They've talked a lot about it, and do a little editing on this, and I think we can come back with some better information for the committee.
All right. Any questions of Mr. Murphy? Senator Johnson.
Madam Chair, it sounds from Mr. Murphy's testimony, unless I didn't understand, that we're largely doing everything that the bill attempts to accomplish.
Correct.
Follow-up, Madam Chair. And my concern is that if we're already doing it, knowing the level of stress that your shop is under right now, I'm not sure why, if we're already doing it, there is a lot of need to work on a bill that would be redundant.
Chair Berger and Senator Johnson, I concur. The piece of it that I am interested in is the employee leave that I would like to, and I apologize, I haven't had a chance to meet with Representative Thatcher to discuss it in detail, but might bear, you know, further discussion on it. But the rest of the bill we are accomplishing.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
May I just opine on the employer leave? We are asking employers in Oregon to carry a large burden now, accommodating our very brave men and women that are in Iraq and Afghanistan. My concern is that this sets up a giant bureaucracy to decide what an employee is or isn't, full-time, part-time, what constitutes an emergency, how long they're gone for, replacement workers. What I don't want to do is to ask the BOLI now, Bureau of Labor and Industry, sorry for the acronym, that we now develop a whole other bureaucracy to figure out what most employers will voluntarily do. I know in Scappoose, when the floodwaters came up in 96 and we thought our guys could help even doing menial things like stuffing sandbags, most employers, I think in the spirit of volunteerism that you already mentioned, most Oregon employers would say, if you've got a certain skill set that'll help your community, go forth and do it. And I just worry that we're asking employers to bear a disproportionate burden with this bill, and that we run the risk of having a lot of litigation and bureaucracy and complication and misunderstanding by setting up some kind of a framework that would mandate that employers create leave. I am not supportive of this at all, if that wasn't manifestly clear in my comments.
Senator Johnson, I think that Representative Thatcher had some concern about that part of the bill as well. What I might suggest to you is that, for one thing, I think that the person that wanted the bill needs to know that how much you're doing already. So perhaps Mark Dodge, I believe he's, yes, Mark yes. Dodge, might be able to meet with you and Representative Thatcher, and I think that would be appropriate. Representative Shockley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with what you and my friend, this other senator from Scappoose, said. we're doing a lot, in labor law this year, and some of it the employers agree with, some of it they don't, and much of it's coming out of my committee. I just cannot support this. As Senator Johnson said, they already roll out anyway, and that is very unique, or not unique, but very much a characteristic of the people that live here. And I was, thank you, Madam Chair, for pointing out, I think if you go to the sponsor of the bill and inform her of these things, which contradict what she said here, and I, because she probably wasn't aware of this, I'm not aware of everything in law either, I think that would be a great courtesy. But I got to tell you, I wouldn't spend a lot of time on this one either. I think you're overworked, underfunded, and I just wouldn't do that. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Representative Shepherd. All right, I'm going to call on that. We've
can
got
I do, Madam Chair?
Yes.
If I could please, you know, when Representative Thatcher was here, she explained that we were one of two states that didn't have a council. Would you know what she was talking about on that? Okay, I'll ask her.
Senator Berger, Representative Nelson, no, and I need to discuss that with her. This information is posted on websites all over, you know, we've had a long-standing good tradition of having a council since 2003. And
I think LCO would have known that. But anyway, somehow I don't know why this isn't known more. But, Madam Chair, I just want you to know I'm not brain dead. I've already moved you to the military department.
I appreciate that.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you, Mr. Murphy. I have some more people that have signed up. Kathleen Joy and Kathy Harrington, would both of you come to the table, please? And if you will just introduce yourselves for the record.
Chair Verger and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Kathleen Joy, and I'm the Executive Director of Oregon Volunteers, the Commission for Voluntary Action and Service. I am speaking today on behalf of the commissioners in support of a continued policy dialogue on a leave time for disaster volunteers, building on legislation that was passed in 1996 after the floods. I want to begin by saying that I have been a member of the State Advisory Committee, the Citizen Corps Advisory Committee, since June of 2006 when it was reinstated. It had started in 2003 and took a lesser role and came back fully functioning just about a year ago. And I want to assure you that the council is composed of representatives from each of the Citizen Corps program areas as well as programs like ours. We actually will be hosting, as the commission, the physical presence of the four-state conference that we'll be having in June, which will bring together Citizen Corps volunteers from four western states. I do want to say, as a former American Red Cross executive director, that I interpreted Section 1.4 a little bit differently when I read it, and I went back and looked at ORS 401-485, which was passed into law and allowed public employees at all levels who were certified Red Cross volunteers up to 15 days of paid leave. That's all that the current statute says. It does not refer to all volunteers. And while I'm not advocating for or against bringing more people into that fold, I do want the members of the committee to be aware that when this bill was passed 10 years ago originally, when this legislation came in that allowed public employees who were Red Cross volunteers to serve in the event of a disaster, none of these other citizen volunteer programs, disaster relief programs, were in existence or functioning at the way that they did today. And I want you to be aware that the dynamic of community volunteers involved in disaster response is no longer in this state or anywhere in the country the sole proviso of the American Red Cross, and that there is a much broader cross-section of local community volunteers engaged in disasters of all sizes, whether they're declared by a county commissioner, the governor, or the president of the United States. So at some point, I'm hoping that a policy discussion can come back to some kind of equity in the way that we look at all disaster volunteers who are responding and not leave it just for one specific group of disaster volunteers. So that's what I have to say.
All right. Thank you. Questions? Okay. All right. Next.
Chair Verger, my name is Kathy Harrington, and I'm the emergency manager for the City of Gresham. I am passionate about preparedness, and I spend a large part of my time working on citizen preparedness and Citizen Corps activities. I, too, am a member of the State Advisory Council. And with all due respect, yes, there has been a council, but we haven't really had a lot of direction until recently, and we are now working very hard. We all are very passionate about preparedness. I think part of the problem is that there is really very little support or funding for citizen preparedness. We all know it's important, but we don't get the funding that we really need to be able to tell every single citizen that they should be proactive and to be able to take care of themselves, because we're not all going to be there for them when the big bad thing happens. I appreciate very much that you're even talking about the Citizen Corps program. We've kind of been the silent worker out in the community, and I appreciate the words actually coming out in public. I do appreciate the fact that you're concerned about employers. I am concerned. When something really bad happens in any of our communities, we all know, especially small business, if they close their doors during a disaster, there is very little chance that they're going to reopen their doors again. To be able to pay their employees for responding, I just don't see it happening, and quite frankly, I personally could never ask an employee employer in my community to pay for their employees to come and help me. When I create my Citizen Corps programs, I understand that it's created solely on volunteerism and that those folks will be there if they can. The best thing they can do with all the training that I give them is to take care of themselves, their family, their neighbors, and even their employer. That will save me in emergency management a lot of work. Again, I also hope that you understand that the council, the Citizen Corps Council Advisory Committee for the state, are all volunteers. We all have real jobs as well. Some of the things listed here, there's no way we would have time to do, and quite frankly, when I'm fundraising, I have to be fundraising for my own programs because I can just barely keep those going. But again, I really appreciate your discussion here, and I appreciate the fact that you're interested in helping our citizens take care of themselves. Thank
All right,
you.
Thank you for being here today. Ms. Harrington, are you referring to public outreach when you're talking about funding? Are you talking about helping get information to people about how to be prepared?
We have difficulties with that, but we also have difficulties with finding funding to actually train the citizens that come forward that want all kinds of level of training for our CERT program. We also have Fire Corps, which is a program of Citizen Corps. We struggle with getting our information out to people, but we also struggle with just training folks as well. There's just not a lot of money on any level put into citizen preparedness.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much for that. Any questions? All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3121. And I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2555. And I welcome Representative Lim to the table.
Madam Chair, can I bring the attendant?
You certainly may. Okay. Absolutely.
And also the, my chief of staff.
I'd be happy for you to bring whomever you'd like to bring.
Thank you. Madam Chair Verger and Vice Chair Nelson and members of the committee, and thank you very much, Madam Chair, for hearing House Bill 2555. For the record, my name is John Lim, state representative from District 50, which is Gresham area. And this House Bill 2555 came from my heart since November, late November through December, James Gimes' issue and their family has been a national news about 2-3 weeks during the time. And I knew James Gimes and his father and mother personally for a long time. They are dear friends of mine. Out of that concern, I introduce this legislation, 2555. I'm going to read from my text. This legislation comes as a result of the tragic death of James Gimes in December 2006. The Gimes family are personal friends of mine, and it grieves to know that this tragedy could have been prevented. They contacted me and asked me to change things. so that another family does not have to experience this horrendous pain. We believe that out of this tragedy, some important lessons have been learned, and hope that through this legislation, future tragedies may be averted. Because of the lack of a statutory guideline regarding emergencies, the Office of Emergency Management has published a standard operating procedure on multi-county effort. The procedure has some areas that are not as comprehensive as it should be. As a result, there is a lack of accountability in handling of emergencies. According to the many news reports, it was hard to uncover who was in central command, and it appears that even counties were not clear on this matter. As a result of this lack of clear language concerning central command, I introduced this bill to help clarify the situation. Madam Chair and members, I understand the Governor's Task Force study is going to come out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to find out what the task force is. If they are addressing those issues, then my bill don't have to go anywhere. If not, then I will continue to pursue, hopefully, to pass this House Bill 2555. And then I'd like to introduce to my left Daniel Kim, right? I met him today. He's from California, interning for 1 week. This is the first opportunity for him ever testifying before this legislative body. So this is a good opportunity for him to do that, and I ask him to testify at this time.
Very good. I think that's great that you ask him to testify, and welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Daniel Kim, and I'm interning for Representative John Lim. Central command is necessary to any serious search and rescue mission. The need for a clear line of leadership is evident in the tragedy of James Kim, December 2006. In fact, an investigation into the matter of how the search was conducted concludes that the search was marked by frequent confusion over who was in charge. The rescuers could have gotten to the search grounds almost one full day earlier had they worked through the night with the information newly obtained from cell phone records. It is safe to conclude that the organizational structure of the current emergency management was one of the reasons that caused this confusion. Under the proposed legislation, House Bill 2555, a new form of management utilizing the existing infrastructure will take effect. While not looking for radical changes to occur, and by maximizing on the changes that do take place, the benefits are cost-efficient and effective. One of the changes will include increasing accountability among officials that are responsible for search and rescue activities within each county by making a list. If these changes took place a year ago, this whole tragedy may have been averted. Let us not let James Kim's death go in vain, but rather have flowered something that will prevent another similar tragedy from occurring. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Very good. Well, this was an exciting day for you, absolutely, to come and just be here for 1 week and be invited by the representative to come and testify before a joint committee, which is a large committee, isn't it? And I believe you have some testimony as well.
Madam Chair, members, I really don't have, I hadn't prepared
testimony. Would you tell us just your name for the
right? Record? Oh, yeah, sorry. Seth Hatmaker, Chief of Staff for Representative John Lim.
Very good.
Really, the only thing I'd like to say is this is the first time our office has worked with emergency preparedness. Mostly we're doing job creation, these things. And what I have found is that my number one response is ask Ken Murphy. So any statement I would have, I'd pretty much say maybe you should direct that to Director Murphy, because his knowledge has been second to none. And incidentally, our bills have gained a lot of media attention, Fox News, local news, Seattle, Los Angeles. And I keep saying, oh, you ought to ask Director Murphy that question. So,
well, that's
I guess I'm
safe.
Saying any prepared statement probably would not do much good. Yeah.
Representative Kim, Senator Johnson is a member of the SARS task force, and I'm going to ask her to just give a short response to your bill, to 2555.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It is my understanding from participating in the Search and Rescue Committee that we will not be issuing the report tomorrow. I think that we are moving in that direction, but to the best of my knowledge, the report is not yet concluded. The committee has met several times. I have been very impressed with the caliber of people and the depth of experience that are on that committee, including Senator Verger and Representative Boone, the chairs of this committee. Mr. Murphy has attended all of the meetings. We have had law enforcement representatives, actual search and rescue groups. It's a very comprehensive group. And they have left no stone unturned in reviewing both the after-action report on the tragedy that occurred with the Kim family. I think that their final work product will be very instructive. I hope that's a satisfactory response, Madam Chair.
It is. And Representative Kim, let me just say that sometimes when we have tragedies for friends or family, the one thing that we feel we can do is to do something to make it better for others. And so I want to commend you for your efforts in trying to help your friends who have certainly suffered. So I'm going to
Madam Chair, may I please?
Oh, yes, Representative.
Thank you. Representative, first of all, my condolences to the family. Oregon's a big, rugged country. And people get out somewhere, some places, somewhere they aren't prepared. And unfortunately, that's what's happened here. And I'm just grateful that the rest of that man's family were saved. Mm-hmm. But I, with all due respect to you, sir, and the family, and all the families that lose people, some of the language that's been used, I kind of got a problem with, because men and women out there are accountable, I think. Maybe some things broke down here. I'm not going to deny that or even question it. I don't know the facts. But I just think people are out there risking their lives trying to find people. And I just don't want, you know, this to be forgotten. And maybe they're going to testify. I don't know. But I just think people are, I think people in emergency response positions are accountable. Maybe we do have to fix our system a little bit. Maybe we do have to be more prepared. But I just think, and the media representative, the amount of media that went into this, I think, is quite frankly, if it had been my family member, I would have been offended by it. They make a carnival, a charade out of the death of this man and the danger that this family was in. And I'm offended by it, to be quite frank with you. And they do it to sell advertising, and I'm sickened by it. And they make a mockery, in my humble opinion, and I respect you greatly, and I hope you know that. But they make a mockery of the men and women of this state that go out there every single day trying to find people. And I support your beacon bill, and I think that's a great idea. People have to understand the dangers in this state when you go out into the wilderness. But I just don't want anyone walking away thinking that the people that do respond to our houses every single day when we need them, or to go out into the wilderness and climb mountains to find us, are somehow not accountable or irresponsible or not trying to do their job. And I do not believe you intended to say that, but I had to get this off my chest. Thank you very much for indulging me.
Representative Shoffler is fairly emotional about a number of issues.
Yes, ma'am, I am.
So,
okay.
All right, I'm going to call up some more people to testify.
May I make a little more remark?
Yes, you certainly may.
And I do appreciate the Senator Johnson's working on the task force. I hope that they include the central command system, and hopefully in the future we might be able to prevent that. And so we don't have to work on my bill at all. And also the Representative Shuffler, I concur with you. Sometimes we don't appreciate enough the troopers and the police officers and the volunteers risking their lives. And they are the backbones of our community, and we all should do that. The way we expressed is not in any way disrespectful, but only to the point. We need a central command system. Always we can do better. So with that, just want to thank you very much for hearing this bill.
Thank you, Representative, and thank you for being here as well, all of you. I'm going to call Ken Murphy, and I'm going to ask Joe O'Leary from the governor's office, who is participating with SARS, with Search and Rescue Task Force, to come and talk a little bit about what we need to do. Be sure you use the microphones, both of you. All right. Thank you.
Senator Berger, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Ken Murphy, the Director of Oregon Emergency Management, and I had talked to Mr. O'Leary earlier, and I'm representing the Governor's Search and Rescue Task Force. See if we can keep him from talking too much. I just wanted to, I did not prepare any written testimony on House Bill 2555, and I think there's some good points in it, but I think, as was mentioned earlier by Senator Johnson, and I would indulge the wisdom of this committee that was mentioned earlier, that we wait until the Governor's Search and Rescue Task Force completes its task. We have another meeting to come up with hopefully the final recommendations and findings and the best way to approach it, and then be able to give that to the governor and let him take a look at it and give us further direction. But I think what we've seen so far, what we've talked about, and Senator Johnson's right, we've turned stones over numerous times on every subject, to include multi-county searches and the use of the incident command system. And I think we have some good potential solutions that can support these types of legislation that Representative Lim proposed, but would indulge the committee that we wait until those final products are out so we can really take a look at the entire search and rescue system, not just the James Kim issue, but all search and rescue across the state, and how we can better work with the sheriffs, the volunteer organizations, and how to improve all search and rescues in the state of Oregon.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Murphy. Mr. O'Leary.
Co-Chair Verger, members of the Joint Committee, for the record, Joe O'Leary, Senior Policy Advisor to Governor Kulongoski. I am also the Chair of the Governor's Search and Rescue Task Force. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on this bill. I humbly, though, must say that I think Senator Johnson and Mr. Murphy really told you where the task force is at. I anticipate our last meeting to occur tomorrow, and this is an issue on our agenda that I expect to reach our final report. I applaud Representative Lim's addressing the issue of multi-jurisdictional command and control. He is right to acknowledge it as an issue, and I think that the task force is on the verge of making a recommendation that will be acceptable to a wide range of stakeholders and will be effective in ensuring that these issues are operationally taken care of.
We could have waited and not heard House Bill 2555 until your report was done, but I wanted, out of respect for Representative Lim, who is, I think, to be commended for trying to do something that will help not only his friend but others. And so we wanted to have a hearing, and I appreciate both of you being here to testify.
My pleasure.
All right. Now I'm going to call John Powell.
I think it was in here, but Sheriff Wolf is here to make questions, but in deference to the task force, we would just withhold. All right, all right, thank you very much. All right, I will close
the public hearing on House Bill 2555. And committee, I'd like to give you a report on Representative Boone. She, of course, had surgery. She is feeling better, but not great. And so she will be a while getting recuperated. You don't just go in and have surgery and decide you're going to do a dance the next day by any stretch. But she is recuperating and doing nicely, and I know she appreciates all the concern for her and the cards and so forth that have been sent. So appreciate that. And is there anything else that could be said for the good of this order? All right. If not, I'm going to call the meeting adjourned.
Here's an update on Senate Bill 49.